If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray has vetoed a bill aimed at forcing large retailers like Walmart to pay higher minimum wages in order to open stores in the city. The legislation would have required businesses that gross $1 billion or more annually to pay their employees an hourly rate of at least $12.50. Gray, however, said the bill would cost the city jobs by driving away companies unwilling to pay that high of a minimum wage. President Obama held a meeting with his cabinet today to discuss, among other things, the debt ceiling. Over on Capitol Hill, House Speaker John Boehner told reporters that Republicans won't raise the debt limit unless Obama agrees to more spending cuts.
We have a spending problem. It must be addressed. Period.
Boehner refused to say what he'll do about avoiding a government shutdown. He was forced to shelve legislation this week after conservatives objected to the fact that it also provided funding for programs under Obamacare. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
About the time my daddy left to fight the big war, I saw my first pistol in the general store, in the general store. Well, I was 13, I thought it was the finest thing I ever had seen. So I asked if I could have one someday when I grew up. Mama dropped a dozen eggs, she really...
Well, good evening, all. Welcome to Second Amendment Forum. I'm Duke Brooks, and Max Roberts will be joining us in a couple of moments. I think the best thing for Max to do tonight, Max is having a couple of minor equipment-type glitches, and I think the best thing for him to do is to just call in the regular guest number, 718-305-7176, and we will go ahead and launch the show as soon as Max calls in. And, well, I see he's asking now for the Max, the number, it would be best for you to just call in using the guest call-in number that you see there, 718-305-7176, and I will put you on the air immediately as soon as you do that. This is the Second Amendment Forum on conservativenationmedia.com. This is our inaugural show. You know, these kinds of growing pains happen. There's not an awful lot that can be done to prepare for them, especially not when somebody has a full-time position in the arms industry anyway. And, Max is pretty much shooting basically full-time all day. So, nobody's going to walk away from work. But if he would just go ahead and call the 718-305-7176. And he should be on the air here momentarily. And all that information should be coming, and it should be, I do expect to see him popping up here any moment. This is the Second Amendment Forum on conservativenationradio.com, conservativenationmedia.com. Even I'm confused. Of course, a lot of people who know me, they think, I'm confused all the time anyway. But, Max, why don't you just go ahead and call the guest call-in number, 718-305-7176, and we will put you on the air immediately that way. That would be the easiest thing to do. Max, welcome aboard, my friend.
How you doing there?
I'm doing fine, and I'm going to turn things over to you, and just stick with me in the chat room. Check in there every once in a while, and we are on the air, my friend. Have a great show, pal.
It's great. It's well, welcome. I'm honored to be here tonight, and I want to start giving a little bit of a idea of what we are going to be doing here. Welcome to the Second Amendment Forum with Max Winchester Roberts. So new show on guns and the Second Amendment, which will be here on Conservative Nation Radio. It's a brand new show, which should be pretty exciting. And we have a whole new area that we are going to be covering, a lot of different things that are very interesting. Some of the topics we are going to cover, we're going to be covering a variety of neat topics. We're going to discuss Second Amendment political issues across the nation. We're going to be talking about the Armed Citizen in Action. We're going to be talking about various types of competition shooting. We are going to have interviews with nationally known firearms experts and industry professionals to talk on a variety of subjects, from shooting, from ammunition, from guns, optics, you name it. We're going to talk about gun shows. We're going to talk about gun safety. We're going to talk about shooting training. We're going to have gun talk. We're going to talk about modern and antique firearms. We're going to talk about foreign imports. We're going to talk about optics and sights. Other things of interest are firearms industry goings-on and new developments. Self-defense weapons and tactics. We're going to talk about ammunition, all the various types of ammunition out there. We're going to talk about the ideal ammunition to use for target shooting, the ideal ammunition for self-defense. And we're also going to talk about reloading and reloading equipment, things to buy and the products that you're going to use to reload your ammunition. We're going to talk about gun collecting. We're going to talk about all kinds of collecting, what, you know, modern, old, Civil War, World War II, World War I, whatever kind of firearms that floats people's boats. We will talk about it. We're going to have a little section called Firearms of the Week, where we're going to talk about a handgun, a rifle, and a shotgun on every show. Some of the topics we are going to talk about tonight is the Colorado recall elections. We're going to talk about the top new carry guns out that are out right now. We're going to talk about the gun industry and shooting in America, and that should top it off to be a pretty good show. Do we have any callers? All right. 5 minutes until lineup break.
Hey, Max.
Yes.
It's me. I just thought I'd kind of force my way in here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got several minutes to go before you'll be talking about other interesting things going on, such as the American by Design show. But
mm-hmm.
I'm sure we're all very happy with what you're going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you could comment upon the removal from office in Colorado yesterday of those
legislators. The Colorado elections.
Absolutely. Take it away.
Absolutely. It was a huge thing what happened here in Colorado. It was a huge victory for Second Amendment forces in this country. Huge. Colorado is largely a blue state. And there were two senators that led the charge, which was no doubt being led by Washington, about suppressing people's gun rights. There was the chairman of the Senate was named John Morse, And there was a the other senator, I'm trying to think of her name for a second, and I got it right here. Her name is Gabrielle. Oh, here it is. Her name, yes. All right. Yes, it was Angela Guerin and John Morse, who are two prominent senators in the Colorado Senate. In fact, Mr. Morse was very much arrogant about it. He refused to absolutely listen to his constituents. He was just arrogant about it. A lot of people warned him and told him to stay out of this situation. He had a very heavy gun owner constituency. And he wound up losing. First of all, he wound up getting recalled, and that was a shock. There were more people in the recall than there was that voted for him in 2012 when he was reelected. There was like almost 6,000 more people that voted in the recall. And the same thing happened with Mrs. Guerin. Well, they wound up, Morse lost his election 51-49%. And Ms. Guerin lost 56-44%. And here's the thing that was the real stickler about it. They were outspent 5-1 by Bloomberg and also the anti-gun crowd. So when you look at that, that is amazing to see. You know, it's the passion of the gun owner. People who value their freedom sometimes are bigger than politics. And that's what the beauty is of what's going on here right now. It is bigger than politics. It is the Second Amendment is not about hunting. It is about self-defense. It is about the ability to defend yourself from criminals and also protect yourself from a tyrannical government. The Constitution states it clearly, that the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed, that means impeded in any way. And politicians have been running around using tragedy that happens in our society to try to take away the rights of law-abiding people, where what happens usually is with we have criminals that cause problems, usually those who are just minor in their approach. I mean, it's usually a small amount of people that is causing a lot of problems for gun owners in this country. 99% of the gun owners in this country do not commit crimes. And it's usually illegal gun owners that obtain guns illegally that cause the trouble. And that has been one of the big problems right here. It's all about power. It's all about control. And a lot of people in this country are just getting hurt over this. And it's wrong. It's very wrong. I mean, this has gone on long enough. I mean, if you look at the news articles here, I mean, it's Town Hall. Katie Pavlich wrote about this the day after it happened. I mean, she said that it's a record Second Amendment victory right here. It is huge. NRA covered it. I mean, here's what Katie Pavlich had to say. I mean, Katie Pavlich said, grassroots activists take home major Second Amendment victory in Colorado. Recall two anti-gun senators. I mean, it's utterly amazing. And these people were powerful members of the Senate. Obama won more. Listen to this. Obama won Morse's district. This will blow you away when you see how much. Obama 51%. And he won Guerin's district by 19%. Get out of there. What's going on here? Oh, boy. That's astonishing. It's utterly astonishing. Oh, what the hell is with it? All right, hold on. ABD liner. Where's the ABD line? Hold on. All right. Hold on. Uh-huh. Where's the ABD liner?
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy
backwash. I want to be a bike that races around the
country.
When
I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
a
sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I
want
to
be
a...
I
want
to be a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sandy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, immediately following Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. America by Design with Bing Fisher. Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Call in Conservative Nations Media on the Second Amendment Forum at 718-305-7176. Getting back to this... this election here in Colorado was rather extraordinary, and I think this is something that Americans should notice about what has happened here. For the election season coming up here, and we got elections in Virginia, we got elections in New Jersey, and then we have the 2014 House elections coming up next year. Politicians ought to notice. This is a huge victory for grassroots activists in the Second Amendment. These results will no doubt send a loud message nationally. Guerin and Morse both voted to limit ammunition magazine capacity to 15 rounds and for expanded background checks covering online and private firearm sales. You know, the grassroots activists in Colorado just had enough of it. There's people that are responsible gun owners, and they have had it. They just took it home and said, you know, this is what another way was described. It was in a historic recall election. Senate President John Morse was booted from office, capping the end of a long and passionate fight over gun rights in Colorado. It marks a wake-up call for Colorado Democrats and Democrats nationally, who are suddenly coming to the realization that they are not invincible after all. In a session dubbed one of the most liberal ever by Durango Herald's Joe Hannell, Democrats sprinted to the left on gun control and virtually every other policy in the left-wing agenda. The Morse recall results are a swift kick in their proverbial nuts. A reminder to legislators getting elected office doesn't give you a free pass to do whatever your progressive paymasters demand of you. And as the Morse recall demonstrates, it is ultimately the voters who control a politician's fate, despite the competing intentions of a fat-walleted few. We speak, of course, of New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who has bankrolled the gun control agenda from the get-go. Even his billions can only buy so many friends and so many votes. And that's the truth. It really is. That's all they can do there. They really can't sit there and do that much anymore. Mm-hmm. They really can't understand it. It is really, really wild to see how this has gone this way. I mean, I would like to hear from some of you out here who'd like to talk about this. If there's any listeners here, I'd like to sit there and see what they would like to, you know, discuss this. Here's another little interesting tidbit here. Listen to this. Here's some of the votes. On the ballot issue, State Senate recall Morse, right? There were a total 30 of 31 precincts. 9,040 people voted to bring him home, and 8,571 voted no. And there was also instituted to be a lot of voter fraud going on in this, too. So even with voter fraud, Morse could not hold on. Here's some more from this. The National Rifle Association issued this statement, and I think this is very interesting. It said, historic grassroots efforts by voters in Colorado Senate District 11 has resulted in the recall of Colorado Senate President John Morse. The people of Colorado speaks on a clear message to the Senate leader that his primary job was to defend their rights and freedoms and that he is ultimately accountable to them, his constituents, and not to the dollars or socioneering agendas of anti-gun billionaires. Recall proceedings began earlier this year after Senator Morse pushed through anti-gun legislation that restricted the ability of law-abiding residents to exercise their Second Amendment rights, including their inherent right to self-defense. This effort was driven by concerned citizens who made phone calls, knocked on doors, and worked diligently to turn voters out in this historic effort. The National Rifle Association Political Victory Fund is proud to have stood with the men and women in Colorado who sent a clear message that their Second Amendment rights are not for sale. We look forward to working with NRA, PFV, rated, and endorsed Bernie Herpin for Colorado Springs. We know Michael Bloomberg dumped tons of cash in that election, a lot, just tons. And like I said, at the rate of 5-1. Here's another interesting tidbit. Listen to this. Recall opponents floating on oceans of money funneled in the recall contest by billionaire New Yorker Mayor Michael Bloomberg outspent recall backers by a whopping 7-1 margin. The fact that turnout numbers suggest that such a competitive race, given the anti-recall side's jaw-dropping financial advantage, is frankly astounding. And the fact that so much of the money comes from out of state. The Denver Post recently reported that Bloomberg and California philanthropist Eli Broad personally stroked six-finger checks, suggest that liberal elites from thousands of miles away think they can buy Colorado's election. Bloomberg was also a big backer of Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper, who signed the new gun control measures into law in March 2013. The recall of Moore shows that the measures are at best unpopular and that Hickenlooper has a lot to worry about when it comes to getting reelected in 2014, even with Bloomberg's deep pockets. And he does have a big problem because Tom Tancredo is looking at throwing his hat in the ring there to run for that seat, and there's already a lot of enthusiasm building for that. There were some interesting blogs that came on Twitter too. Colorado Peak Politics. Why Hick for, you know, this was Hickenlooper's worried about the recall. Quinnipiac poll last month found voters oppose his handling of guns 52-35. And Michelle Malkin said an army of grassroots Second Amendments in Colorado defeated Bloomberg. But Goliath. I mean, it was David versus Goliath. Yes, it has, and it can happen. It can happen in America, and if it can happen in a blue state, it can happen anywhere. You people, those of you that own guns and that respect the Constitution and the Second Amendment and feel this way, need to sit there and do these things. You need to get active. You need to sit there and get active and actively oppose these politicians. And do not let them dictate to you how you defend your life. Your very life. I mean, The attitude of arrogance that we have seen come from Washington has been unbelievable. I saw Congressman Diana DeJet, another Coloradan, talk to an old retired man who was sitting there, saying how much he needed a high capacity magazine to defend himself against home invaders who could come in numerous numbers. And she sat down there and said, "Oh, don't worry, the police can come there." That is the height of arrogance. That is the height of hypocrisy. And your life is not worth their political agenda. Your life is priceless. It is priceless. And that's what one of the things the Second Amendment is about protecting yourself from everything that could possibly come up against you. And you as Americans cannot sit there and, you know, this right has been defended from the very beginning of our country. The very beginning of the United States, going back, you know, that's what the British tried to do, is take away the guns of the American patriots, and that would have been that was what won them their freedom. No freedom was ever legislated, it was never negotiated. It has been won by the power of the gun, and it is won by people that have been willing to lay their life down for freedom's sake, sacrifice. And that's one of the reasons that we need to look at things this way. Hold on. That's true. And when every second counts, they say, "Oh, the police are only seconds away." No, they're not. I mean, the police even say there are things that says carry a gun because a policeman are too heavy. Policemen encourage people to have guns. There is just numerous. Testimonies of officers and police commissioners and sheriffs across the country who are pro-gun and who understand what it is, and they can't be there all the time. I mean, 98% of the time, a police officer cannot be there for you to defend you. 98% of the time. And you're going to have to sit there and do it yourself. You know, and unfortunately, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to learn how to shoot a gun. You're going to learn have to own a gun. You're going to have to learn gun safety. It is a responsibility to own a firearm. It is. It is a great responsibility to own a gun. I have several of them, and a lot of Americans have many of them, and they're avid gun collectors and shooters, and they understand what it is. They go to the range. They spend time learning how to shoot. They spend time going to courses, learning how to do proper gun safety. They constantly hone their skills, and they constantly learn, and that's what's important. And one of the things in this show we are going to be promoting is responsible gun ownership and shooting. There's no higher axiom in shooting than safety. And even if you're going to get involved in a situation where self-defense occurs, that's what's important. It really is. What else do we have here on this? There's even more. I mean, talk even more on this. Oh, there's more about this. Let's take a look-see. Gun Saves Lives, which is another great article right here, talked about. Let's see what they had to say. Oh, here's the thing, too. Mr. Morse, this is the state of the reality with these people. This is how out of touch they are. And I talked about how out of touch of reality they are. Listen to this. Oh, get out of here. Come on. All right, hold on. John Morse was alleging that people in his state, that there was voter suppression, and he lost. He just couldn't handle it. It goes to show, see, he is so deluded to hear that even with the outcry that his position is right. Well, no, he's not. He's wrong. Here's what he said to say. We called Colorado Senate President John Morse to the airwaves yesterday to voice his grievances with the Colorado recall election, which cost him his job earlier this week. He said we had very sensible common sense gun legislation. You got to reload after cranking out 15 rounds. You have to get a background check. You have to pay for background yourself. You want a concealed weapons permit, you got to get that training in person, not on the Internet. And we took some existing federal law and made it state law concerning domestic violence, so judges have jurisdiction over that. None of that comes anywhere close to the Second Amendment, Morris lamented during his MSNBC airtime. Well, I tell you, Morris didn't spew gun control points. He alleged voter suppression. Well, I said, yes, Mr. Senator, Mr. Former Senator, the whole process was rigged against you. It couldn't possibly be that people don't agree with your politics, and that's the truth. Because a lot of the things that he alleges here are just normal, common sense things that people have to do anyway. Do people have to pay to get a background check? Every time you buy a gun, yes, you do. You pay $2. Do you want to have to get a concealed? Yes, you do have to go get a concealed. You have to go to training. And he says, we took some existing federal law and made it state law concerning domestic violence so that judges have jurisdiction over that. Oh, give us a break. Give us a break. They bleed too much. They bleed too much because they lost. And that's typical, as Rush Limbaugh says about liberals. When they lose the fight, they start to make personal attacks, and that's exactly what you're seeing here with this. I mean, it's exactly that. Now, the other senator, Giron, got absolutely obliterated. I mean, she got pushed out, 56-44%. 56-40. I mean, she wasn't even close. And I remind you that these people live in heavy Democratic districts. So it's even going to show that the Second Amendment means even a lot to people on the other side of the political spectrum that do support these rights, and they have the same values because they understand what it is, what they're up against. What else do we have here? Are we going to talk about more with this? Is there more? Absolutely. Let's see what United Liberty had to say. Here's an interesting article about this, too. United Liberty had a great article about this, and I'll open this up here, and we'll talk about it. It should be very interesting, and hold on. All right, here it is. Anti-gun Colorado Democrats defeated in recall election. Let's take a look-see. Come here. Anti-gun politics are bad for electoral health. That's a lesson two Colorado Democrats learned on Tuesday night. Colorado Senate President John Morris, Democrat Colorado Springs, and State Senator Andrew Giron, Democrat Pueblo, were recalled by voters in their respective districts and what was considered to be a referendum on onerous new gun regulations passed by the legislature early this year. Both pro-Second Amendment and anti-gun groups invested heavily in the race. The Denver Post noted earlier this week that anti-gun groups raised some $3.5 million to help these two Democrats, including New York City Mayor Bloomberg, $350,000 contribution. Pro-gun groups raised $540,000 total. Despite the heavy spending from anti-gun groups, voters in Colorado's third state Senate district recalled Giron, 56-44, and elected George Rivera, a Republican, to take her place in the House, in the legislature's upper chamber. Morris, the highest-ranking official in the Colorado Senate, faced the same fate in the 11th district, though by a smaller margin at 51-49. Bernie Herpin, also a Republican, was elected to fill the remainder of the term. Giron was actually thought to be the safer of the two. All right, we have to do something here. We have to read something. The Life Watch liner. Hold on.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6-8 to 90-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics, or RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is more than your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps you to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's nothing that really comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did. It's Max Roberts here at Second Amendment Farm, looking to talk even more. We are going to take any phone calls here at 708. We're going to take phone calls here at 708-305-7176. And one of the things we're going to talk about is, I told you, firearms of the week. And the first firearm of the week today, as we're going to talk about, is the Glock 17 semi-automatic pistol. And the Glock 17 is the brainchild, or the Glock safe action pistol. It is a brainchild of Gaston Glock, who invented the Glock pistol back in the 70s. And the Glock, what made it unusual was that it has a polymeric receiver, which is the bottom end of the pistol, which contains the trigger mechanism and the magazines and everything, and the top piece was steel. But what Gaston developed was a pistol. See, a lot of pistols are normally very heavy if they're all constructed out of metal. And one of the problems that you have is, you know, weight, carrying something around. If you're carrying a gun, carrying all that extra weight can be quite tough, if you will. What Glock did was, Gaston Glock was really not a gunsmith, but what he was an industrialist who also understood polymeric science. And what he was able to do was come up with a gun that has polymeric, the polymeric bottom was able, the receiver was able to make the gun a lot lighter, and it was also strong with being able to withstand the forces that come when you shoot a gun. And the Glock 17 was chambered in 9mm, and it became very popular when it came out. The Generation 1 pistol gradually replaced the 357 Magnum and 38 Specials, which was being used by a lot of law enforcement. Nearly every police officer in the country had the Glock 17. Well, needless to say, the 9mm has been proven over years to be inadequate to be a police round, and, you know, it's very popular as a defense round with people, but with the police, it's become quite, not what I say is quite as strong as what people would like, and they, as a result, have, you know, Glock still has a huge corner on the market, but they're usually going with larger calibers like the 40 Smith & Wesson, the 45, and the 357 SIG. And I would say, you know, owning a Glock 17 is a great gun. It's very accurate. It handles very well, and I enjoy it very much. I think it's a great shooting gun. It's a great competition gun, but it's also a good defense weapon. It has a 10 to up to 17-round capacity, and you can even add up to a 33-round magazine, which for competition shooting, which is good. If you want to go out and not spend a lot of time loading, you can put a 33-round magazine in it, and you can spend your time in it. It also serves as the platform for the Glock 18, which is a fully automatic version and shoots like a machine gun. Now, getting back to our, we're going to get back to our, let's start getting back to this Coloradan thing here. We're going to talk about other guns. We're going to start talking about guns that are being used for defense today, and handguns that are very popular. What's coming out today that's new, and what's making a difference? There's been the guns are constantly being reintroduced. New products are coming on the market very fast, as guns in America today are a very hot topic. It's a business that is growing at a rate of, since Obama's been elected, it has grown at a rate of 400%. 400%. That's phenomenal. That is amazing that it would have that. That's the fastest growth in the country right now that's happening. That's amazing when you think about this. A lot of our new carry guns that we have out today, and there's a lot of good stuff coming out here, and people should start looking. You know, one of the things right now, Ruger has come up with something, which is the Ruger LC380, which is it's a small polymeric pistol. It's compact, it's light, it fits the bill real well. It is about 6 inches long, and it holds 7 to 10 rounds of ammunition, depending on what magazine it is. And it's in the 380 caliber. And then there's another one. Carr has a new CM9. Carr really makes some fine pistols. They're located up in New York, and they make a really good pistol. Excellent, excellent, excellent. And I really like it a lot. I think Carr makes some very good things. Highly recommend a Carr. Caller. We have a caller. Who wants? I'm ready for the answer. Yes. We have a caller. Where's our caller?
Max, it's Duke. I think your loudspeakers might be the issue there.
Oh,
just make sure your speakers are turned up, because there is a caller on the line. I don't know who it is, but there is somebody on the line that wants to speak with you.
I can't hear. I cannot hear them.
Okay, turn up your loudspeakers, Max, and I think you'll be able to hear them.
I my loudspeakers, this is about as loud as it goes right here.
Okay.
Let me just turn it off and I'll talk into the phone. How about now?
We don't hear the caller yet either. We don't. All right, we'll just continue on. Let's take a break right now, Max, and we'll be back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Well, I can stand beside ideals I think are right. And I can stand beside the idea to stand and fight. I do believe there's a dream for everyone. This is our.
Max Roberts back talking more gun talk and Second Amendment Forum, talking about guns that are out there for self defense, new concealed carry pieces. We're looking at the call. Oh boy, Colt Defender has a fabulous new 45 out right now. That looks to be really good. It's a 45 ACP, 3-inch barrel. It has Novak low-mount sights, aluminum alloy with Cerakote framing, stainless steel, length of 6 3/4 inches, weight 24 ounces, and it's also available in 9mm. Ideal. That's the perfect kind of gun that you need right there. But it depends on whether you like single action. Kimber's got a fantastic stainless ultra carry, too, right out now, too. It's a 45 ACP, 7+1, 2.7-round, 3-inch match-grade steel. Fixed lower profile, aluminum, satin, silver brush, stainless steel, stainless finish, length of 6.8 inches. Options available in 9mm, and it's running about, these guns run about $1,000. And then there's also a Smith & Wesson Pro Series 1911. 45 ACP, 7+1, 2.7-round, 3-inch dovetail white front, stainless steel, 6.9 inches, 26.5 ounces. Really nice stuff. The whole point about buying a handgun, though, is what when you buy a handgun that's for concealed carry, you must understand one thing. It must fit well in your hand. It must it's got to be comfortable for you to hold. And if it's not, it's not going to be good for you to carry. It's got to be comfortable with you, and you also got to be comfortable with the recoil that the gun has. If you're not comfortable the way it shoots and you don't handle it well, not a good thing for you to have, because accuracy is very important in concealed carry for defense, extremely important. And if you cannot handle the recoil of the round that you're shooting, it is going to cause problems. That's one reason why they build so many different guns that fit so many different people, because, you know, everyone is different. No one is biologically is the same, and a lot of guns seem to fit well. Some people just cannot handle certain guns, and that's been, but now that we have so many guns that are made, it's beautiful. I mean, because you can sit there and these compact guns are growing in power, and they're also growing in ammunition capacity. It was typical that most small guns were very low caliber and carried only a few rounds, maybe up to 7 rounds, but now you're getting guns that go up to 45 caliber. And you're talking carrying anywhere from 12 to almost 12, 10, 13 rounds of ammunition, 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, 45. And these guns are very, very powerful, very, 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 very good defense weapons. And that's what you want, is you want one-shot stop. One of the maxims that you have if you're going to shoot a concealed-carry gun is one-shot stop. That means you don't want to be sitting there shooting a lot of times. You don't want to do that. If you're in a situation, it's just one. That's what you need. You put your threat down, and that's it. Some of the other things out here. I mean, I'm taking a look at other guns. We have a Taurus Millennium as a new G2, which is a Brazilian-made model, and that comes in 40 Smith & Wesson and 9mm, and it has a lot of nice features. It's been totally redesigned in terms of its look. It has a single double-action trigger, and it can carry from 10 to 12 rounds, 10 rounds in 40 and 12 in 9mm. And Walther has a new PPQ M2 model out right now, which is a 9mm pistol, and it has 12 rounds. Bursa's got a beautiful model out. BP9, which is, it's got 13 rounds of 9mm, and Colt's got this beautiful 380 Mustang pocket light, which is really sweet. And what, you know, the thing is, if you choose a gun, what do you want? What are the things do I want about choosing a handgun? What are the main features that I want in it? Well, first of all, one of the big things is affordability. People are definitely going to buy what they can afford. But fortunately today, a lot of our gun manufacturers have made things cheap to cost. People can buy things, you know, for a relatively low price. I mean, you got guns that you can buy up to $300, but some up to almost $2,000. But it depends on what you buy, and it depends on what quality you buy. But there usually is something that can fit every pocketbook, and that's important. Another thing is ammunition availability today is another thing. Today, ammunition is at a premium today, and the reason ammunition is very difficult to get is because you have several million gun owners in this country, estimated 100 million gun owners in this country. And you have everyone has more than one gun, and that's a huge demand on ammunition. Today, Steve Hornady was talking about what the problem is, and the problem with the ammunition today is the very fact that there is so many people buying, and it has just overloaded the system. You have people that are buying ammunition off the shelf. As soon as they see it, they buy it, and then as an end result is the demand is so high that the manufacturers are having a hard time just getting stuff to, you know, built in time. They're working. He said they're working as fast as they possibly can. But he said that they're badly affected. I mean, their suppliers are having a big problem with just acid, which is used in the development of gunpowder, and all the various chemicals and metals and everything that they use. Just the general means of production to make ammunition is very difficult to come by. It's very hard. And this right here, I would say, is one of the big reasons. You know, you got to have ammunition that's not only effective, but you can also get a hold of availability. And today, it's hard at all times, but you get, but the best things that I say, the best thing I can say is to buy ammunition, buy a gun that has probably best 40 Smith & Wesson. Seems to be a really good popular caliber today. And it also it's a very reliable police round. It's between the 9mm and the 45, and it gives you the ability to deal with, you know, you're talking, it's very effective. It's very effective. And I highly recommend using a 40 Smith and a concealed carry. It's probably one of the best rounds that you can go to. 9mm is good, too. 9mm seems to be more popular with women. But I recommend that if you're going to buy a gun today that's, you know, for concealed carry, that it fits in your hand, it carries it well, and that you can shoot it well. I mean, you should be able to take it and line up from 15 to 25 feet and should be able to put through your rounds very carefully. And you should be able to shoot bullseyes with it. And you need to spend time with it. When you buy a gun, you don't need to sit there and just let it sit in the closet. You need to take it to the range, and you need to understand how to work. And you need to go train yourself. There are lots of classes out here in the gun industry that can really work well. There's a lot of great stuff that you can go to. There's the NRA offers a lot of courses that you can go get, pistol safety classes, and then there's all kinds of defense classes that you can take. And then they can put you on courses. They can run you through obstacle courses and to run you on the very same things that police go through. And that's what you need. You need top-level professional training to get this done. What I say, and I think it's a proven fact. The proven fact. Let's see, what else are we going to talk about? Revolvers. Now, another thing we haven't talked about is revolvers. There are a lot of nice, small revolvers that are available in concealed carry, and there's a lot of good things out here. Ruger makes a lot of nice, small revolvers. The most popular revolver, which seems to be real popular with a lot of shooters, is the 357 Magnum. And the 357 Magnum revolver is probably the best, you know, according to the FBI, one of the best guns that has ever been used in shooting, for self-defense. One shot, one stop, 97% of the time. 97% of the time. The 357 Magnum is an extension of the 38 Special. It was invented in the 1930s by Elmer Keith and Major Doug Wesson. The big problem that they had back then was dealing with criminals. It was a lot of criminals started getting, asbestos vests, and when the police were shooting at them, you know, they couldn't stop them. So they needed something to penetrate the vest. So Elmer Keith and Wesson came up with the 357 Magnum revolver cartridge, and what they did was they took the 38 breast, they made a longer cartridge, and they added a higher burning, greater power powder, and the end result was they developed a round which developed a K case pressure of 35,000 PSI, and it was developing muzzle velocities of 14 to 1,600 feet per second and muzzle energies between 5 to 700 foot-pounds. And that was able to bring down, you know, go through, penetrate vests, those asbestos vests, and it was able to bring down a lot of these criminals who were very heavily armed using a lot of things in a day. There was a lot of stuff that they had. So when you think about it, I mean, that's quite impressive. There were 357 Magnums. Now 357 Magnums are out there. There's a lot of great 357 Magnum revolvers. Now the thing what you got to be careful with if you do buy one is you have to understand that the 357 Magnum has an enormous recoil. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to sit there and you know, sometimes some of them are light. Some of them are very light, and the recoil can be quite ferocious, and it becomes very easy not to handle well. It does not handle well at all. It does not handle well at all. And I think we're ready for a break, huh? I'm gonna quit this. Ain't doing it now.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thank you.
W. Roberts here on Second Amendment Forum, getting ready to take some callers here right now. I'm ready to listen to what my listeners have to say. Let them in.
Hey, Max, how you doing, man? This is Ben from American by Design. On Sundays, we do a show on Sundays on the same network. And I was listening to you talk, and I just wanted to say, man, it's just a great day in Colorado, I think.
It sure is, my friend. It's awesome, isn't it?
And see, this was not a regular election. This was a recall election. And,
it was a recall election, and those guys were established. And how about that? They were – you were going to finish what you were going to say. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The thing is that these guys, yeah, they were established and they were taken out, and now they got no place to go, you know. And it's like, I'm loving it, you know. But I was listening to you, you know, just I don't know if you want to maybe talk a little bit about that, but I was listening to you talk about the some of the smaller nano guns out there, that kind of thing, and your wealth and wisdom, man. I mean, you're experience as far as this goes is unbelievable. The Second Amendment actually protects the rest of our amendments.
That's
and
right.
I think people fail to realize that, and
the Second
that's
Amendment
why
guarantees everything else. Like, you know, no one, you know what happens. No one ever defended a freedom of yours by legislating it. It's all been. I mean, Arlington Cemetery is filled with dead men from all over this, you know, from this country that have sacrificed their lives at the point of a gun to defend your freedoms. I mean, members of
correct
my own family have done it. I mean, it's that's the way it is. You know, you have people in your families. I mean, many Americans have World War II veteran families that have died. You know what I mean? And what happened here, you have to consider. Those guys were out. They were funded 7-1. 5-7-1.
You also had Mayor Bloomberg come in there, you know, with his outside money from New York, you know. And I don't think people in Colorado like the outside influence. And he was trying to buy votes.
Outside influence. They hate it. And it's, you know, no one likes anyone coming into your backyard and telling you what to do. And what we have going on from Washington right now is you're having the administration is working through their underling governments to go out and to put oppressive gun rights. You see, they are not going to quit. One of the things you got to understand, they are not going to quit at all. They are just not going to do it. They are going to keep coming at and you know that's the thing. This election, like you said, is very a watershed event because that's what happened. They stopped, you know, the Senate president and also the Senator Guerin was the committee chairwoman of the committee, you know, the Judiciary Committee from where that came in. So, and, you know, they had four. They were four they were going to recall. And the fifth, you know, the other two, they couldn't get enough signatures on the ballot in time. But I assure you, those people are all any politician right now that has been you know anti-gun, right? She's going to be looking over their shoulder. I mean, here, you know, in Virginia, there's a gubernatorial race, and Terry McAuliffe has got a very bad record with the Second Amendment. And I assure you, Ken Cuccinelli is no doubt going to sit there and start taking him to task on that because the time is right. In fact, he has. He started. I saw on Facebook today that he's starting to take them guys on. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Well, I was just going to say that being a designer, that I do engineer parts for some of the guns that you've mentioned on your program so far. So, I mean, if it breaks, it's not my fault. If it works real fine, then I designed it, and I designed a lot of parts for guns from some of the gun manufacturers from starting from S to or starting from B. We do a lot of work for the B gun guys, and I can't really say their name, but you know all the way down to T's and the S's and the, you know, so And it's pretty interesting, man, that the smaller guns are so compact and they got a lot of firepower. And
well, they
I
do.
Like
you know,
I carry
a 357 SIG, and I'm going to tell you that I have done my own experimenting. I started out with a 40 Smith & Wesson and a 357 Magnum, and the thing was the 357 Magnum. You see, the 357 Magnum is the ideal defense weapon, but the big problem in a revolver. What are you going to have on a concealed carry basis? Five, maybe six rounds? And, you know, you get multiple assailants. You know, you better be good. You know what I mean? You better be good. And then I went to the 40 Smith & Wesson. And then as a result, I started realizing I wanted that power back. So I studied the 357 SIG, which is what a lot of police are starting to use right now. And that's the ideal because that combines the high ammo capacity of the 9 or the 40 with the power of the 357 SIG, you know, the 357 Magnum. I mean, and when you have that ballistic, that gold, what I tell you what's called the gold standard of muzzle energy seems to be about 500 foot pounds. That's what you get with that. You get you're going to get anywhere from 500 to almost 600 foot pounds with a 357 SIG. And that gives you the energy generation that you need to deal with any threat. And that's why the policemen, they were having all kinds of issues with other things. They were having all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems.
Well, the thing is, how do you feel about it? I'm trying to look. I got a lot of high-power stuff here, okay? I'm trying to look for just a regular 10/22 Ruger. I mean, something, you know, in the lower class, you know, just a little varmint, right? I mean, I've already got, you know, ARs and stuff like that, but I want something in a 22, but I can't find a gun or I can't find the ammo for it.
Is this for a defense pistol or a rifle?
A rifle, probably.
If you want to get a good rifle, I have a 10/22 carbine. It's excellent. I mean, I'll tell you something. You know, it's based on the old M1 bolt slide design from World War II. Very, very similar. The big problem is 22 long rifle ammunition has become – look how 22 long rifle ammunition has become so hard to get. I mean, you got 500 rounds. It's selling for almost $100 right now. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you see, when Steve Hornady was saying they're concentrating on the calibers that people see, they're concentrating on the big defense calibers like 9 and 40 and, you know, 45, all the, you know, 357 Magnum, 38 Special, 45 Long Colt. They're concentrating on making the ammunition that people need for defense, the bigger stuff. Now, a 22, you know, you want to get a nice little 22, you know, there's a lot of, who's got a good 22? You know, Walther makes a nice little 22. And I've seen these Walthers come out, and I'll tell you, there's a great Walther, it's a P22. I've seen one with like a 15-round magazine, and it comes with a laser, $276. I mean,
I wish you could put some... Put some links up or something because I'd like to get one, and it's like I can't find any around here. So, not any, but I mean, it's hard to find.
I'll start links on my site. You know, I'll write down. I'll start answering questions, and I'll start leaving some things on the blog where you guys can get a hold. You know, I'll start putting some links or whatever public service announcement. I can start putting some information. But that Walther is good. I mean, if you want a 22 long, I see a lot of them selling at gun stores, at gun shows, very popular. And like I said, under $300. And Walther, you know, makes a very good gun.
Yeah, Walther is a pretty good gun.
Yes.
And I tell you what, I'll leave you on that note. I just want to say one more thing is that a buddy of mine, a talk show host, Phil Valentine, syndicated out of Nashville here, had a caller from Colorado that called in on 9/11, and his dad was American Indian, and his dad actually got caught up in trying. They found his remains. It's just a truly incredible call. And it's just something that if you go to philvalentine.com and just look for it's right on his site. Just listen to it because it'll just bring tears to your eyes.
One time
how he got his father back. I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm looking at I listened to it live the other day. It's a guy, Robert from Colorado, was the guy that called in, and his father was MIA in action.
Valentine.com. Hey, here's what I want you to do too.
I'll get that link to you, and you can put it up. I think that'd be a great link for your site, man.
Send me an email too, so I can take care of your Walther needs. Maxwell at conservativenationradio.com. You send me a email there, and I'll be able to take care of that for you. That would be good. I'll see what I can help you out with that. That's one of the things that I'm going to be doing on this show, is help people, you know, with their firearms purchases in any way I can. So you're interested in the big heavy caliber stuff. What's your big heavy caliber needs? What do you like? What are you shooting the big caliber side?
I like my Smith & Wesson 40-45. I like a couple other guns that I have. And some people, I think you might, you know, they might be trepidatious as far as what they want to talk about as far as what they own.
Because, I know. Especially
us that are on the air, because people will say, well, okay, I know where you live, you know. So,
I know, and that's the truth. It's the truth. That's very true. That's very true. And you know, I respect that. I do. And I will be more than happy. PhilValentine.com, and I will be more than happy to take care of that for you.
I'll just send you that link to that SoundCloud file. I mean, that everybody should listen to this. This guy is very sincere. I mean, it's just out there, man. It's just it'll get you to think about how America actually does come together after the fact. You know.
It does come after the fact, and I am greatly encouraged. I'll tell you something too. I am greatly encouraged by seeing the results of that election. I mean, you never know how it's going to turn out. But to see that in Colorado, and I'll tell you something, that's got to have probably the anti-gun people are having coronaries over it.
Well, they're probably looking at the bikers rallying on D.C., and they might be looking at a representative that I support for to take over Lamar Alexander's seat here in Tennessee, and his name is Joe Carr. And
I agree with that. Lamar Alexander is...
We need to get him out of there.
A lot of them become very conservative when election time comes around. Guys like McCain, Alexander, you see, they're interested in one thing, and unfortunately, it's come to be apparent the fact they're establishmentarians. They're more interested in the establishment than they are in really dealing with problems, and that's what's happened. I mean, a great book I recommend for all you patriots out there to read, and I think I remember it, is Animal Farm by George Orwell. It's an old thing. We all read it in high school, but it really shows what has happened to the leadership in this country. I think it's a very good book that we all read. Have you read Animal Farm before?
Oh yeah.
Read it again. I think it's a good thing, because you know what it does is it really paints the condition on where you see in our society. Well, I got a couple other callers here. It's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for your call.
Take them, brother. Thank you for your first show, man.
Take care. God bless.
God bless.
Next one. Next caller.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs, the Delaware Society of CPAs, and the Ad Council.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the time.
Max Roberts here talking about, we got some more stuff to talk about here and on the Second Amendment Forum. And the next thing, we have another firearm of the week to talk about here. Yes, we do. And that firearm of the week is the Mossberg 590 pump action shotgun, or the more or less known as the Mossberg 590 A1. The Mossberg is actually an excellent shotgun. It is a fantastic gun. It has short barrels. Most of them usually come parkerized, black. They're pump, and they come in a variety of configurations, which are ideal for home defense and also for what you call, competition shooting, like free gun and things like that. And they are black. They have a padded stock. It's usually synthetic. They come with a variety of sights. The most popular sight they have is a red ramp front sight, and they have what they call ghost sights. And a ghost sight is a little bit different. It has wings on the side. It's kind of goes up like you've seen on a lot of guns. That they have this kind of creates like an alley that you shoot down. And then there's a nice round, eye aperture there, where you can line that front sight up, and it's very accurate. Now, one other nice thing about Mossberg is that they have a high ammunition capacity. They're chambered in the 2 3/4 or 3-inch Magnum, and I believe you can carry 8+1 2 3/4 inch and 7+1 3-inch. So that's quite formidable. And usually the magazine tube on the bottom extends the whole length of the barrel, which is usually around 20 inches. And some have lower capacity, but I think that the higher capacity one is better. And they also have an option, which is called the speed feed stock. And what happens on the stock, there are two apertures in the stock on either side. One's on the high side, one's on the low side. And what you're capable of doing is you can put spring-loaded. It's like a slot that's spring-loaded, and you can put up to 4 rounds of ammunition into the stock, which gives you extra quick load. The Mossberg, too, one of the nice features about it is to load it as fast. On the bottom, instead of having a door, you can just pop the rounds right in through the door, right below the chamber. And it's ideally set up for shooting. It's a great home defense weapon, and it's also a great, competition shooting gun for three gun, which we will be talking about on one of our future shows. I mean, there's some great articles here. The Truth About Guns is an excellent website I highly recommend if you want to get some good gun reviews. And I think that what you could do, they rate the guns, they go through, and they just give them a complete look over. They give you an impression on how the gun's handled. They'll tell you about a little bit. Here's some good. This is like the kind of things they say. The Mossberg 500 was designed in 1960 and began production in 1961. The company made a slight modification made in 1970, changing the single-action bar setup to a double-action bar. The theory, two is better than one. Two-action bars should be less to bind a single-action bar. The differences between the 500 and 590 are few but important, as they mean barrels cannot be swapped between two models. The 500 magazines are closed at the muzzle end. The barrel is held in place by a bolt that gets screwed into a threaded hole in the mag tube. Model 590 magazines are open at the muzzle end, and the barrels fit around the magazine tube. It is then held on by a nut end. The Model 500 magazine facilitates easy barrel changes, as the barrel bolt only holds the barrel in place. The Model 590 magazine facilitates easy cleaning and parts replacement, as removing the nut allows removal of the magazine follower. There are two primary 500 base models, the 505 and 535. The 505 is a scaled-down version designed for young or small-frame shooters. The 535 is a beefed-up 500 designed for 3.5-inch magnum loads. When the appropriate parts, the 500 can be a field gun, a slug gun, home defense weapon, a trap skeet gun, or a 50-caliber muzzle loader. Over the years, Mossberg has sold combination sets with a single receiver and more than one barrel, and that's what you call versatile. And that's what you want, is versatility. Versatility is very important in a shotgun. You want to be able to do a lot of things with it. A shotgun, you know, I have a couple of shotguns that are all different, and they serve different purposes. And the Mossberg, I think, is a very fine weapon. It's light, it shoots accurate, it's easy to handle, the action is good, and it's very accurate. I mean, they gave it a good rating. I mean, in terms of, you know, its overall rating, they gave it 5 stars. They said it's the for home defense. The Mossberg 590 is hard to bite. The action is not as smooth as an 870. That's true, but it works perfectly. It's customizable. It held off for a while and then added a TacStar. He said I held, and the guy said he added a TacStar 6. That's good. You can put saddle mounts. In addition, you can have a lot more than 13 rounds. You can put a saddle mount and put 6 rounds on the side. I mean, it's really amazing what you can do with that kind of a gun. It's amazing, just utterly amazing, that kind of firepower on that short of a range right there. Ooh, let's see. Now we're going to talk about the gun industry and shooting in America. I mean, the growth of the gun industry and gun ownership in America has been utterly phenomenal. It has been an amazing thing, and as I've watched it over the last 5 years, I mean, I have seen just an amazing amount of gun owners. I mean, I've seen after the Sandy Hook incident, you couldn't find a gun in a store. You couldn't hardly find a round of ammunition. It's amazing how sales went up. Average sales, I mean, you wouldn't believe it, like Ruger went up 400%. Smith & Wesson, 500%. It's amazing. I mean, you hear gun owners, gun manufacturers have 7 to 7 month to 1 year backlogs on orders right now. That's amazing. The demand is absolutely amazing. And they're just starting to get guns back into the store and back into the gun shows. And the prices are starting to drop. They've done some things. But these companies have had to take their manufacturing capacity, and they've had to sit there and close down lines and stop making certain guns for a while just so they could start catching up again. And I know for a fact there's things that I'm purchasing that I've had to wait for because these manufacturers have to meet obligations to their orders, and it's because the demand has been so high. And that right there is why, you know, this is what kind of shooting and gun ownership, you know, think about what a lot of you listeners into. What kind of a shooter? Is this a fad for you? You have to think about it. Is shooting a fad for you? Are people buying guns because everyone else is buying them and you feel the need? Or are you buying guns and starting to realize that this is an absolutely fabulous sport and you're enjoying it? I mean, that's the thing, and becoming an avid collector. And that's a great hobby. It really is. It's an expensive hobby, but it's also a very fascinating hobby. You know, buying firearms and owning guns is a huge responsibility, too. You've got to keep them locked up. You've got to protect this. And, you know, it's keeping ordnance and explosives in your home. You have to learn to handle these things well. You have to store your ammunition in a cool, dry place. Recommended that you get yourself a gun safe, or, you know, with an environmental control, so you can keep your guns and ammunition in a place where they can be safe and not go off. I mean, and also extend the life, because gunpowder is hygroscopic, and what hygroscopic means, it has a capacity to absorb moisture. And you don't want that. You don't want your gunpowder getting wet. And you have to store it in a place that you get the maximum life out of it. I've seen ammunition that people have had put away for years, and they're able to come out and shoot it without incident because it was properly taken care of. And then some other times you have stuff that's been stored, it gets wet, then you can have misfires and squib fires and things like that. And for those of you who are not familiar with that, there's some things that do happen with a gun. A misfire means that the primer fails to go off, and that's a dud. And you see, a cartridge is usually combined. Usually, most center fire cartridges, there's two kinds of cartridges. There's rim fire, and there's called center fire cartridges. Now, a rim fire cartridge on the 22, which is usually in the 22, you know, HMR 17, and a lot of the other small rounds, what it utilizes is called rim fire. It fires around the rim, around the edge. That means the firing pin hits around the edge there, and there's no real primer, but there's a primer in the base of the cartridge, but it's internal. And when it hits there, it sets it off and sets the gun off, sets the charge off, and then pushes the bullet out. Now, a center fire cartridge is one where you have, you know, your gunpowder is loaded in there, and then what you have is what's called a primer, which is in the base center of the base of the cartridge. And this primer is an explosive. It's shock sensitive. When the firing pin of the gun hits the primer, it detonates the explosive in there, which in turn sets the gunpowder off and then sends the round on its way. You know, when you have all this ammunition that's costing you, I mean, it's a fortune. I mean, you have to take good care of it. You have to take good care of it, and you have to keep it around. But I would like to know, some of you, what kind of shooters are you, and what does it mean to you? I mean, are you a sportsman, or are you just a fad person, or are you a shooter, you know, an enthusiast? And being an enthusiast is the best thing. It really is. It's a very rewarding, rewarding hobby, and I think you can enjoy it. We have a break time, and we'll be right back after this.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Roberts here on Conservative Nations Radio, and here we have another little joint Delaware political veteran, Christopher Manti, every Friday right here on conservativenationmedia.com for the Christopher Manti Show at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll and NFL commentary thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, which could readily be called eponymous. Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Well, getting back to shooting here and talking about shooting, as we have been talking about earlier, what kind of? Oh, let's have another. You know, we have another firearm here. We have absolutely one. And in fact, this is something here which would help the previous caller. The Ruger 10/22 carbine is the rifle of the week. How about that? And I do have a great review on it. And I think that Ruger 10/22 is a fantastic gun. It is a wonderful rifle that for 22 enthusiasts, it's extremely easy to handle. It's a semi-automatic. It's a carbine. Now, a carbine is a semi-automatic gun. I suppose there's bolt-action rifles, and they're semi-automatic. And this is what a Ruger 10/22 is. As built, it has a 10-round magazine that inserts into a it's like a rotary magazine, and it takes 10/20. But now that Ruger's been developing, and there's also been aftermarket magazines which can carry up to 25 rounds or even 50, where that Ruger makes a magazine now where you have 25, they took their 25-round magazine and they sort of doubled them together and one crisscrosses over the other. And on one side you got 25 and then you got 25 on another. There's even sometimes 100-round drums that you can put on these. And I have even seen some of them that have been customized to shoot automatically. Here's a great thing. There are two general types of 22 caliber rimfire rifles for in use from the precision target rifle and the sporting rifle. The Ruger Model 10/22 semi-automatic carbine is in the latter class. Chambered for the 22 long rifle cartridge, regular high velocity, it is designed for small game hunting and informal target shooting. Action is of a blowback operated type fed by a unique 10-shot detachable rotary magazine. In blowback-operated arms, the bolt is held shut by its inertia and the pressure of closing the spring. In the Ruger Model 10/22 carbine, hammer pressure against the rear bolt also retards the opening of the breech. The blowback system is feasible in 22 rimfire arms because of low power of the cartridges used. It eliminates manual operation of the breech mechanism in loading the chamber, and extraction and injection of the fired case are done automatically. In semi-automatic arms such as this, the gun fires with each pull of the trigger. A disconnector in the trigger mechanism prevents firing of more than one shot with a single trigger pull. And it says, externally, the Ruger Model 10/22 resembles the Ruger semi-automatic kind of 44 Magnum introduced in 1961. That is a piece, and that's a great one, too. If you can get a hold of one of them in 44 Magnum, that's amazing. They also made this gun Ruger did a great job with this too. They also made a gun, a 22 Magnum version of this, which is very collectible. And if you can find it, it's going to cost you between $700 and $1,000. But that 22 Magnum is an outstanding round for a gun like this, and it could be a lot of fun to shoot. One of the features here they're talking about is one of the more interesting is its detachable box magazine. Outer casing of the magazine is plastic, but the magazine throat is a steel investment casing. A spring-driven plastic rotor in the magazine moves the cartridges into feed position. Rotor spring pressure is light, and cartridges can be loaded in the magazine with surprisingly little effort. Disassembly of the magazine for routine cleaning is simple. The maker suggests that this be done after firing 500 rounds, since the accumulated powder residue may interfere with proper functioning. To avoid trouble in reassembly, the magazine rotor spring should not be detached from the rotor. Procedure from retensioning the rotor spring is given in the direction of the sheet furnished with the gun. Base of the inserted magazine lies flush with the front end of the trigger guard, a design feature enhancing the clean lines of the gun. The magazine is removed by depressing a thumb latch in front of the end of the trigger guard. The user soon acquires the knack of depressing the magazine latch and removing the magazine. That can sometimes be a little bit of a trouble, but you got to get used to it. It's not easy. I've fired this weapon before, and it does take some time to get through it. But I'll tell you, it is a very tight chamber. It is a very good shooting gun, and it comes in a variety of finishes and configurations, which can accommodate a lot of different shooters. They have a specialty version of this, which is almost like a pistol version. If you go to Ruger's website, you can see it. It's a short rifle, and it's good for target shooting and also for fun shooting. And they also have a new, what's that new model they have? It's really getting real hot now. It's the Takedown model. Now, the Takedown model is very unique. It's got a, let me open up the website here and then give you a little bit of details on this. I think you guys will find it very interesting to see what it has. Guns and Ammo had a review on this, and it's the new Takedown model. It's quite popular. It has a lot of nice features. What the gun does is it breaks down into two parts. The barrel and the front end of it can break off from the rear action, so you can basically take the gun apart and put it in a small case, you know, for travel or whatever. That's a convenient feature. It just came out just this year, and it's a really fine weapon. It has great versatility, and I've seen a lot of people. It comes in a small case, and it has a stainless steel finish on it, and it's also of the black synthetic. Here is what they say. Here it is, reverse engineering. Let me go see here. Ooh. Oh, here it is. Takedown rifles are sexy, compact, and handy. Many of them spanning all action types have been designed from the beginning. But the 10/22 is not. It's one thing to engineer a takedown from the... This is reverse, but one of the design goals is to be broken down and reassembled and continue to function flawlessly with no loss of accuracy or shift in zero. With repeating actions, designing a takedown is more difficult to engineer than a solid frame model, but it certainly can be done. It says... So the 10/22 takedown is a bit more than just a variation of an existing rifle. It's a 10/22, but it's altogether different as the millions of 10/22s that have preceded it. And yes, Ruger's engineering team has pulled it off. From a distance, it's undistinguishable, but close, the slight four-inch gap is obvious. This is a great gun, too. I have seen these. These are just compact, and you can put it, you know, it's a complete, the takedown comes with the Ruger logo black nylon backpack style carrying case. Unzipped, it has an inside main pouch for the receiver and two smaller pouches for the barrel and scope. There's lots of room for ammo, earplugs, or whatever you want to carry your shooting gear. The rifle has a standard flip-up rear sight and a barrel band front sight, and it supplies a rail mount for Weaver style rings. It says most people... It has scope mounting issues, but let me tell you, you can pretty much go to a gunsmith and have anything done to a gun. If you don't like, when you make a purchase and you don't like certain aspects about a gun, you can go to a gunsmith and you can have your gun customized to your needs. You can have different optics put onto it. You can have different finishes put onto it. You can have trigger jobs done. You can have just about anything that you want done that you can make that make your gun fit your performance needs the way you'd like it. Trigger pull is the one thing I've had done, is having trigger pulls adjusted. There's nothing like it. Smoother the trigger pull, easier it is to shoot. More fun it is to shoot. More accurate, quicker. Oh. And that's our little bit about the Ruger 1022. And if, and like I said, if that gentleman sends me his email, I can enclose these two as well for him, if he's interested in the 1022. That's a great, great, great gun to have. All right, what else are we going to take a looky here at? Ooh. What else is on the agenda here? Going from that, I'd say we can talk a little bit more about carry guns. And carry guns, like I said, is probably, right now, carry gun is probably one of the main items that's being sold today across America. Carry guns are very popular because a lot of people are getting concealed carry permits, and they're carrying guns on their person, in their car, or women, a lot of women are carrying them in their purse. And what we're starting to see is we're seeing a lot of stories come out. You know, we've seen, you know, George Zimmerman in the news, and we've seen how that's come about. But, you know, there's been a definite anti-gun owner spin that's come on that. And, you know, you seem to notice in the news how they're not giving George Zimmerman a minute's peace, and they're blowing everything out of proportion for him and trying to make him look foolish. And, you know, that like I said earlier, these people are on a relentless crusade to go after your guns. And the only way you're going to have to do it, like I said, is you're going to have to sit there and fight back against it. You're going to have to fight back against it. You're going to have to sit there and become an activist. You're going to have to sit there and go to your politicians. You're going to have to write letters, and you're going to have to go to political meetings, and you're going to have to do what it takes to save your rights. It's not it's just sitting back is no good anymore. Not good anymore. And what I'm just talking about, this is your fundamental right to defend yourself. It is your fundamental right to protect yourself against criminals, against terrorists, or whatever thing we have, whatever threat we have. Protect yourself, your family, your property, everything that there is dear to you, that you work hard. The thing is about life, which is so funny, is it takes a lifetime to grow and develop something, and it takes seconds to destroy. And that's one of the things about owning a gun and having a gun is important, because it gives you the right to defend yourself and protect yourself. And like we get back to saying, people are buying these guns one after the other. I mean, it's the highest selling market, and there are people defending themselves every day and preventing crimes. This is the thing what they don't like to tell, and you don't see about. And we're going to talk about this on the show, and I'm going to start looking up stories and start talking about where instances where people have successfully defended themselves with guns, and you're seeing a lot more of it. You're hearing about a woman out in Texas where she was at a Denny's, right? And a bunch of guys were robbing the place, and she saw it going on. She pulled her handgun, and she stopped it. And you're hearing stories about, you know, in a lot of times, you're hearing about the citizen gun owner doesn't shoot somebody, but they pull the firearm and they prevent the crime from happening. And if that's all that happens, that's good. It really is. You know, gun owners are not gung-ho about shooting people. I think the thought of taking someone's life with a gun is, you know, and as a gun owner, is a terrible thing. It's a horrible thing. You don't want to have to do it. But, you know, to defend yourself if your life is on the line. But if you can sit there and avert a tragedy with a firearm in the proper way, using the proper training and the proper handling, you have done something good, because you have defended yourself, and the person that perpetrated the act might think twice and might get their life going in the right direction because of this, because they may realize that they came real close to losing it then, and they might just grow and come out of it. If that comes anything from owning a gun, then that's a good thing. It really is. And you as a gun owner need to learn. You know, it's a scary thing. You read many stories about when people, you know, pull a gun or get in a situation where this happens, and how it really, you know, gets them going. It gets them going. It's traumatic experience, and it's a high stress experience. But you're gonna have to learn, and one of the things you're gonna have to do is learn to take practice. And I think stress practice is a good thing. I think going to courses and taking classes, you know, like Dr. Piazza has a fabulous class where you can go learn how to shoot at. I mean, Ignatius Piazza is, you know, we maybe see if we can talk to him. Ignatius Piazza is one of the leading firearms people. Masada Yub is another great man that teaches people about guns and about how to use them. He was with the FBI, and he's one of the leading gun advocates in the country right now, and he can tell you on how to choose. Here's an article on how to choose the best handgun. Let's see what Masada has to say about choosing the best handgun. This should be a very good story here, what he could tell us, how to choose a right carry-in. This is by Massad, and I think this should be a good thing to see what he has to say about why and how and the things that we should do. I'll just try to summarize some things from here. Here it is. He said, one can't carry. He says, gentlemen, ladies, choose your weapons. By Masada, you want what to look for in a concealed carry gun. One can't carry a concealed weapon without having a concealable weapon. Some are suitable for the concealed carry task and some are not. It is more convenient to have a wardrobe of concealable handguns, but it's not entirely necessary. Generations of young cops have learned that it's cheaper to buy a concealment holster for their full-size department-issue service handgun and to purchase a whole new gun and leather set for off-duty carry. Similarly, many armed citizens have learned that full-size handgun they bought for some home protection is concealable if they set their mind to it. Revolver or auto? And that's a good point. He's talking about the choice between revolver or auto. When you assess your particular balance of needs, you'll find some stark differences between the attributes of the double-action revolver and the semi-automatic pistol. Let's go for a quick overview. All auto-loading pistols have long bearing surfaces between slide and frame, making them sensitive to proper lubrication. They can also depend on clean, pristine magazines with unfatigued springs. Thus, auto pistols are more maintenance-intensive than revolvers, which can be left unlubricated and at rest literally for decades with no degradation in function. Military spec pistols such as Glock, Beretta, SIG, etc. have large tolerances between the moving parts, allowing them to function when sand or dirt gets into the mechanism. The more finely fitted revolvers may choke if dropped in a sand pile or immersed in mud. Thus, while the revolver is more forgiving of a lack of routine maintenance, the automatic is more forgiving of the field abuse. In the serious defense calibers, 38 special and up, revolvers have only 5 shots in the small frame models, 6 in the standard frame, and occasionally 7 or 8 in a larger, progressively harder concealed sizes. The smallest 9mm auto start at 7 rounds, that's what I said, and quickly progress to 10 or 11 in if you carry a light polymer frame. Full-size 9s are up to 18 rounds or 20, if you don't mind a small magazine extension protruding from the butt. With quick interchanging magazines, the autos are also much faster to be reloaded. By any measure, the firepower is what you want. A semi-automatic is what you need, and we talked about that earlier. Most semi-automatics, here it is, can jam if pressed against an assailant's body before firing, as can happen in a belly-to-belly fight to the death or rape attempt. The pressure will push most auto slides out of a battery, or firing alignment of the parts preventing one from being fired. If the first shot discharges, viscous blood, fat, and brain matter may be black blasted from a shot against the bare flesh into the barrel, pushing up to the auto cylinder as it cycles, preventing the preventing the slide from closing into battery for subsequent shots. Well, Mossad here has some good points here. He said autos tend to be squared off handles that press tightly against the body, particularly in the pocket. This is about the grips right here. He said this means the fingers of the drawing hand may have to fight a little to get between the flesh and the gun to gain a drawing grasp. The rounded profile of a small frame revolver allows a much faster grasp and hence a much faster draw. Score a point for revolver here, especially in a pocket, ankle, or belly carry. Revolvers tend to be somewhat more reliable than auto pistols, which can jam from being held without limp wrists, from using too short or too loose a cartridge, or from lack of lubrication. Particularly for non-experienced shooters and those who don't routinely lubricate their guns, this gives the wheel gun a reliability edge. Auto shooters, remember to lubricate your gun, carry gun monthly, even if you don't shoot it. Lubricant is liquid and it drains and evaporates. Well, Mossad's got some very good points here. This is a great article in the Gun Digest, June 30th, 2013. And this right here really goes about a lot of the things we talked about between revolvers and semi-automatics. The revolver, like I said, it is almost a very good choice for a lot of people who, if you're inexperienced with a gun, it's probably the best choice. Even though you have less rounds in the gun, you have a more reliable gun, and that's pretty much the way I progressed as a concealed carry owner. Is when I started out with a revolver and I moved to a semi-automatic once I got more comfortable with it, and that's what you should do. The 357 Magnum, like I said earlier, is great. A lot of ladies like the 38. The 38 Special seems to be a very popular. And then there's a new round out that was developed a couple of years ago called the 327 Federal Magnum. And there's a lot of manufacturers starting to offer that gun in that chambering, and it's quite an impressive round. It's not as big as the 357 Magnum, but it has very similar ballistic properties with a lot less recoil. A lot of people call it the ladies 357. You're talking about a 100-grain bullet, which can go about 1,500 feet per second and deliver around 400 to 500 foot-pounds of muzzle energy. These 327 Feds usually come in, what I say, 5 or 6 rounds. Ruger makes the SP-101, which is a fine 357 Magnum in 327, and it has six rounds. And it's a little, a 3.5-inch barrel. It's a little different than its cousin in 357. The 357 carries 5 rounds, and it has fixed sights. And the 327 has adjustable sights. It's basically the same gun, but it's chambered with one more round, and it has that. We are getting close to the closing time tonight. And like I said, it's a pleasure to talk to you all this evening. I enjoyed getting on board and starting to learn how to talk to you about the things that I know and knowledge I can pass on. And next show we should be able to talk to people more regularly as we get our technical issues straightened out. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. This is Maxwell W. Roberts signing off.